I'd like to make mention of a very meaningful sponsorship by the Pruss family, who are sponsoring today's shiur in memory of Tammy Pruss's mother, Rachel Leah Bas Mordechai Tzvi. Her yahrzeit is on Chaf Beis Sivan, that is tomorrow, and we thank them for their meaningful sponsorship. I also want to make mention of the fact that today is the Shloshim for the all the Karbanos in Meiron. I was just talking to my sister, who is very close with the Morris family, and they're having a big program today commemorating the Shloshim. It's a bittersweet day, but it's an opportunity for us to dedicate our Divrei Torah to all of them as well. And I hope that whatever we speak about will be in some way an Aliyas HaNeshama to all of them. So let's get into this morning's topic. A little bit heavy, but we've done that before, and that's fine. Much to our collective dismay, we are all very well aware of the fact that Jews have been singled out and violently targeted in hateful acts of intimidation all over the world over the past couple of weeks. And in countries and communities where we used to feel safe and secure, we now very often are made to feel exposed and unprotected. But as we know, every situation in life also provides us with a unique opportunity to learn and to grow as individuals and as a people. And this should be looked at as no exception. This is the same as all of those. So for the first time in many of our lives, I don't know many, but in the first time in my life for sure, we might actually be challenged to think about what does it mean to be singled out as a part of the Jewish people? It's a question I've never had to think about before. We might be talking to our children for the first time in their lives about the unique qualities and characteristics of what it means to be a Jew and what they represent as Jews when they walk in the streets. We might be focused on what it means to be uniquely targeted by others when we are referred to as the nation, as the Am Segula, as the Am HaNivchar, as the Am Hashem, as the Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So let's think about some of these issues, and we begin with what I believe is an intriguing Gemara Maseches Chulin that compares and contrasts our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that of the relationship that exists between Him and the Malachi HaSharis. So it sounds like a strange question, but the Gemara wonders, who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu love more? Does He love the Jewish people more, or does He love the Malachi HaSharis more? A fascinating question. So let's read the Gemara together. It's number Aleph on the source sheet. Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis. For those who may have come in late, there are a few more sheets over there on the bima. So the Gemara says as follows. Chavivin Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The love and the profundity of that love, the depth of the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish people is Yoser Mimalachi HaSharis. Is even greater. It's even more treasured. It's more admired than the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Malachi HaSharis. How do we know? Because we have the opportunity to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any time. We come to Shul or even not in Shul. We can be in our homes and we can express our gratitude, our connection, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. Malachi HaSharis ein omrim Shira ela pam achas bayom. Malachi HaSharis only thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu once a day. Va'amrila pam b'shabbos. Some say that Malachi HaSharis only have the opportunity to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu once a week. Amri la pam b'chodesh, v'amri la pam b'shana, v'amri la pam achas b'shavua, v'amri la pam b'yovel, v'amri la pam achas ba'olam. There are some opinions that a Malach only has the opportunity to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu at one time in his existence. But we are given the gift and opportunity of praising and connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol shah, whenever we choose to do so. And therefore the Gemara says it must be from the fact that we are given this opportunity to have an audience with the Ribono Shel Olam at all times, it must be that He appreciates us more. If you like somebody more, they get more of your time. If you're not interested in that person, or they're a little bit less of a close relationship to you, then they get less of your time. That's sometimes the way it goes. We love our spouses. They get, or they're supposed to get, much of our attention. We're interested, or we should be interested, when they talk to us. But that's not always the way it is with everybody. There are different levels of relationships that we have, and therefore, the Gemara says it would seem that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more profound, is deeper, than the one that he has with the Malachi HaSharis. There's a parallel discussion in the Avos de Rab Nasan, where we're told the following. It's the very next entry. Yisrael Nikraim Avadim. We are referred to in the Torah as Avadim, as the Torah says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael Avadim. We were chosen as the ones who are going to be servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the same time, the Mishnah says, Malachi HaSharis Nikro Avadim. Malachi HaSharis are also referred to as Avadim. So who is the real Eved? Is it us, or is it the Malachi HaSharis? Ve'ein ata yodea eze chaviv zemizeh. Who does the Ribono Shel Olam appreciate more? So imagine you have a king, and you have many different people who service that king. You go to the White House, you go to Buckingham Palace, there are many different people doing different kinds of jobs. Who is the one who's closest? Who is the advisor? Who is the one who is considered to be the most intimately involved with what goes on? And you look into it, and here the Avos de Rab Nasan tells us, you want to know, we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Malachi HaSharis also do. You want to know who's closer? Says the Mishnah, Kishu Omer, Ki Avadai Heim Asher Hotseisi Osame Eretz Mitzrayim, Yisrael Atem Chavivim Lefanai Yoser Bimalachi HaSharis. That proves that the Jews are closer in their service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Malachi HaSharis. You know, we daven, it's a very controversial tefillah, but we offer a tefillah during the Yamim Noraim, Machnisei Rachamim, that we ask the Malachi HaSharis to get involved and to intervene on our behalf. A very interesting tefillah, very questionable whether or not we should be saying it. Why do we have to ask for an intermediary? But think about it. It's almost natural for us to ask a malach to help us out. It makes sense. We believe like a malach must be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than we are. And the Gemara says, no, it's a mistake. Understand that you are so beloved, that you are so admired and so treasured by HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than the Malachi HaSharis. You don't need their help. They should be asking you for help. You're the ones of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen to be his avadim and to be the closest of his confidants, to be the closest of his avadim. And I find that to be a very inspiring passage of the Gemara. You know, we daven every day and we make so many references to the privilege that we feel of being connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of being the Am Segula. Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebiranu Lechvodo. At the end of davening every day, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu Elokeinu, blessed are you, Shebaranu Lechvodo, that you created us in order to honor you. V'hivdilanu min atoim, and you separated us. You took us out from all those who are making poor choices in life. V'nasan lanu Torah Semes, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving us a Torah. This is not putting us in shackles. This is not giving us a difficult life. This is Derachei Darchei Noam. This is the most beautiful life one can ever live. This is what it's supposed to be. This is a life of ethics and morality, of upstanding values. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day for giving us Chaye Olam Nata Besochenu. You gave us a piece of eternity that we're able to deal with every moment, every day of our lives. What a gift! What a gift that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every day. At the end of davening, Aleinu L'Shabeach La'adon HaKol. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the height of the tefillah on Yom Noraim. It's the height of the avodah on Yom Noraim. So we almost ignore it at the end of davening because it becomes part of the routine, if that much. Most of the time, many people don't even get to Aleinu. What a chash of a tefillah. You understand what Aleinu is all about? Who is the one who instituted Aleinu? Are we familiar? Aleinu L'Shabeach was in the days of the Chumash it was instituted. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua ben Nun, Aleinu L'Shabeach was then. It's a long time ago. It's a very special tefillah. And think about the words. Aleinu L'Shabeach La'adon HaKol. Why should we be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why should we thank Him? Shelo Asanu Kigayei Ha'aratzos. It's a privilege to be a Jew. Yes, are we singled out? And yes, are we being viciously attacked all over the world? Yes, we are. But it's a privilege to be part of the Am Segula, of the Am HaNivchar. And I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times every single day in the Tefillah of Aleinu. L'Seis Kedula L'Yotzer Breishis. I thank the one who created the world. Why? I would never choose that life. It's not what I want. This is the greatest life that I've been given, and it's such a privilege. Yes, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I am singled out. It's not a negative. It's the greatest positive in my life. In Tehillim, David HaMelech tells us, Kapitel Ein Tes, Va'anachnu Amcha V'tzon Marisecha, we consider ourselves the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We consider ourselves the sheep, the flock who follow their leader. And because of that, David HaMelech says, No delecha liolam. That's the greatest gift you could have given me. That I am Amcha V'tzon Marisecha. What more can I ask for in life? In our davening on Yontif, think about the words, Atav v'chartana mikala amin. What does it mean to be singled out? Singled out doesn't just mean that the nations of the world single you out and attack you as a result of that. Singled out means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled you out. That the Ribono Shel Olam, Atav v'chartana mikala amin, you chose us from all the nations of the world. Ahavta osanu v'ratzi savanu. You had such a deep love for us. You wanted us. You gave us a language that is more elevated, that is more experiential than any other. We talk about what this means, but we don't think about it. Yes, we're singled out as Jews, but we're singled out primarily by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not by our enemies. It's the Ribono Shel Olam who chose us. So what does it mean to be the Am Segula? What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you? It means you have a right to be arrogant and to disregard everybody else in the world because I'm the chosen? Absolutely not. It means we have a right to disregard the law of the land because I'm better than that. Because it's not really written for me. I am the chosen one. Of course that's not what it means. The halacha guides us very clearly, very carefully. Dina de malchusa dina. There are rules, there are regulations, wherever we live, we have to follow them. That's a halachic concept. That's not a nice idea. It's the same way you keep Shabbos, you also pay United States taxes. It's the same thing. It's the same Shulchan Aruch, it's the same Torah that says both of those. There's no difference. So what does it mean to be the Am Segula? What special privilege do you get by being the Am Segula? It means you have a right to look down on other people? Of course you don't. The very same Torah also tells us, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem. Chaviv Adam doesn't just mean Jews are beloved, means human beings are beloved. All human beings, all nationalities, all races. So what does it mean to be the Am Segula? What's the privilege? What do I do with that? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? And I thought perhaps we look at the Pasuk the first time that the Torah refers to us as the Am Segula. When was that? Leading up to Matan Torah. Here we are, the Jewish people are getting ready to accept the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives instruction to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ko samar lebeis Yaakov v'sagei livnei Yisrael. I know this by heart, it's my bar mitzvah parsha. It's the only parsha I know. Ko samar lebeis Yaakov v'sagei livnei Yisrael. I got lucky. You know, when I was bar mitzvah, first of all, my bar mitzvah parsha is Parshas Yisrael 70 psukim. I got it very easy. For anybody who has children who study for their bar mitzvah, you know what a great gift that is. I was unlucky of the fact that my parents were always very busy people and nobody really paid attention to the fact that I was having a bar mitzvah, which was fine. And here we are like 2 months before my bar mitzvah. No, they planned a whole party, a whole thing, and then dawned on someone like, wow, should he lane? That's interesting. And here we are like right before the bar mitzvah. Nice idea. So we lucked out that it was a 70 pasuk parsha. They set me up to learn with somebody. I didn't have enough time to learn how to lane. So I just memorized the whole parsha with the trup, and that's how we did it. And to this day, I have no idea how to lane, which is okay. I know what I'm good at, I know what I'm not. I'm not good at laning, and that's fine with me. So, this is my bar mitzvah parsha. The benefit is, I know how to quote it in this shir today. Ko samar lebeis Yaakov v'sagei livnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you have to teach the men, you have to teach the women, each one needs to be taught in a different way. That's what it means. Tomar lebeis Yaakov v'sagei livnei Yisrael. You have different ways, different venues of how you transmit the Torah, depending on who the group is that's being taught. And then the Torah says, Atem re'isem asher asisi l'mitzrayim. You, the Jewish people, watched what happened. You saw the miracles unfold. Nobody else ever experienced this. V'asa eschem al kanfei nisharim v'avi eschem elai. God says, you watched how I lifted you up out of Galus Mitzrayim. This made no sense. This was an unbelievable miracle that you experienced as a people. And then the Torah says, Ve'ata. So now that I've taken you out of Mitzrayim, now that I've chosen you, now that I've shown you miracles, now we're up to the next stage. What is the next stage? Im shamoa tishmu b'koli, if you're going to listen to the rules that I will give you, if you're going to follow all of the instructions that the Torah gives us, then v'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim, then you will be the Am Segula. Then you will be the chosen nation. And God then instructs us, va'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, I want you to be a group of kohanim and a holy nation. So what does it mean? If my father was not a Kohen, I can't be a Kohen. So what does it mean? You're the chosen people. You are the Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So Goy Kadosh means you're a holy people. What do you mean? We're all just intrinsically holy? No. We have to earn our holiness. We have to work at it in life to be holy people. That's the charge. That's the challenge. What does it mean to be Mamlechas Kohanim? That's part of what it means to be an Am Segula. How can I be part of the tribe of Aaron HaKohen? I'm not from his family. So how does that work? What does the Torah expect of us? Perhaps what it means is, you think about what is the job, what is the assignment, what is the responsibility and the duty of a Kohen? What is he supposed to do in life? Not talking about today. In the days when we have a perfect utopian Jewish society, what is the job of a Kohen supposed to be? I think if you boil it down in very simple terms, yes, the Kohen offers karbanos on the Beis HaMikdash, he runs here, he does that, but the bottom line, what is fundamentally the job, what is the duty of the Kohen? I think the duty of the Kohen is to serve as the bridge, as the link, as the connection, as the linchpin between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. There are many of us who have difficulty connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the job of the Kohen is to figure out how to unite the Jewish people with Avinu Shebashamayim. We live our lives day to day. We're distracted with so many different things. We don't have the ability to focus on this at all times. Although the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, I should feel as if God is with me all the time. It's hard to feel that all the time. So we have a recharge. And we go to the Beis HaMikdash a few times a year. What do we do when we get there? How am I going to connect? Well, the Kohen comes over to you and the Kohen brings you into the experience. The Kohen connects you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohen allows for that bridge to be formed and for you to be reunited with the Ribono Shel Olam. And maybe that's what it means to be the Am Segula. When we are introduced to the whole topic, to the whole idea, to the whole title of being the Am Segula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says what it means is, I want you to be a Mamleches Kohanim. It doesn't mean in biological sense. We're not from the offspring of Aaron HaKohen. It can't be. So what does he want? He wants us to serve to the world as the ones who will incorporate, as the ones who will integrate spirituality and godliness into all that goes on in the world. That we should merge our world together with the worlds that are so above and beyond our understanding. To give meaning and purpose to our lives, to sensitize the world and to stimulate them that there's something greater that we should all be working toward, and to enlighten people to the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. That's what it means to be an Am Segula. That's the privilege. It doesn't mean you have a right to look down on others. It means you have a responsibility. It means you have something that you were entrusted to do. It's a job that we give you. And in order to do your job faithfully, we give you the opportunity to do that by singling you out. I was thinking about it when I watched, maybe this is a bad example, but somehow everybody in their minds filters things the way they think. So you'll excuse me. Whenever I see anything on the news or I read anything, I filter it. Like, how am I using this in a shir? That's just the way it works in my head. Maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right, I don't know. But last week I was watching how Secretary of State went to the Middle East to negotiate whatever he's negotiating. And the kavod they give this guy, right? It's like amazing. What did he do in his life to deserve this? I don't know. Maybe a lot, maybe a lot. I don't know anything about him. Could be the most wonderful person. It's possible. I don't know. It's not meant as a negative. But such kavod, they send him on Air Force One. the red carpet. Everybody comes out to greet him in the airport with the marching bands. Then they do the whole, you know, he inspects the troops. It's like amazing what they do for him. Why? He lives in the same house you live in. He uses the same toilets we all use. What's the difference? What's so special about this guy? What's special is he's been singled out to do a very important job. In order to enable him to do that job, we have to make him yachid u'meyuchad. We have to make him very important. And by making him important, he's then able to take that sense of responsibility that he's given and run with it and do what he has to do. If I walked into the Middle East and sat down with both parties and said, you know, let's talk about peace, they'd laugh me out of the room or kill me before I left. Nobody cares what I have to say because nobody's interested in my opinion on the matter. Nobody entrusted me with this job. What does it mean to be an Am Segula? Maybe that was a bad example. But what does it mean? The American people give this person a lot of respect, give a lot of responsibility. As a result of that, this person now has the ability to do things that are very important. If we didn't offer that to the person, and he flew economy like the rest of us, and he walked off the plane like the rest of us, I don't know. I don't think it would be the same. So why do we need all of that? We probably can live without it. But that enables the person to do their job better. It makes them understand the sense of duty, purpose, mission, responsibility that they have. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to all of us. I want you to be Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. I want you to be the ones who will show the world what it means to live an integrated life, to live a life that's fully engaged in all that goes on in our world, and to show them that there's a way to do it with a higher purpose, with a sense of mission, with a sense of vision, with something greater than ourselves. But you can only do that if I give you the divine appellation of being the Am Segula, the Am Hashem, the Am HaNivchar. That's the privilege. That's what you get. And that's the responsibility that comes along with it. It's why the Navi Yeshaya, this is a term that has been hijacked by other movements, but the Navi Yeshaya was the first one who called us the Or LaGoyim. What does it mean to be an Or LaGoyim? What does that mean? An Or LaGoyim means, very simply put, that's the job of the Jewish people, to enlighten the world. Doesn't mean we're smarter than anybody else. There are plenty of smart people in the world. Doesn't mean we have an inferiority complex. It doesn't mean any of that. It means we are expected to live lives that are Or LaGoyim, that are a way of enlightening others into a higher realm of living life, into a more meaningful life. That's what being the Am Segula is. That's what being targeted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. We were singled out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not our enemies who made us into the target. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we thank Him for that privilege every day. V'chaye olam nata besochenu. Ata v'chartanu mikol ha'amim. Baruch Hu Elokeinu shebrono lechvodo. This is what we say every day in our davening. And that's what we mean. We sincerely thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for entrusting us to do His sacred mission in the world. It's not that He doesn't respect anybody else, and it's not that we shouldn't respect anybody else. We should, and the Ribono Shel Olam also does. But there are different jobs. Everybody has a different tafkid. Everybody has a different mission. Our mission is to be the Am Segula. Our mission is to be Mamleches Kohanim. Our mission is to be the Or LaGoyim. The Sefer Yesod V'Shorash HaAvoda, written in the end of the 1700s, writes when he explains, what are we supposed to think when we make a bracha every morning, Shalo Asani Goy? What does it mean, Shalo Asani Goy? So you read what he says, it's so beautiful. Bebircha Shalo Asani Goy, Sheniskena Al Tchilas Briyaso. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the way we were created. Tchilas Briyaso, we were born as Jews. Now, it's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch, what does a convert say? What bracha are they supposed to make? Shalo asani goy? I was created as a non-Jew, so what do I say? Do I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He allowed me entry later on in life? Well, it doesn't really fit in the sentence. So, anybody who has that question, we'll deal with it later. But it's an interesting shaila. So, writes the Yesod of Shorash HaAvoda. For most people who are making this bracha in the morning, who are not converts, who were born Jewish, what is it that they're supposed to think? La'anias daiti. Ki yitein ha'adam el libo. When a person sits back and thinks, you know, we daven quickly, so we don't have enough time to actually sit back and think. But if we were to sit back and think, you know what it says in Shulchan Aruch? How are we supposed to say Psuke de Zimmer? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Psuke de Zimmer is supposed to be recited the way that we count money. That's a description that's given. I challenged anybody in the shul, would you ever count your money the way we say Psuke de Zimmer in the shul? It's a disgrace, if you want the honest truth. Psuke de Zimmer is our opportunity to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they say Reb Chaim Soloveitchik used to daven very quickly, and they asked him, oh, it says the way you count money? He says, that's the way I count money. I don't care about money. But I think for most of us, we don't take that approach of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Money means a lot to us. And we would count money very slowly. And we'd be very careful when we were involved in a business deal and there was a whole transaction going on, we would count it again and again and again and make sure every last detail of the contract is worked out. And the Shulchan Aruch says that's the way Psuke de Zimmer is supposed to be. That's the way all of davening is supposed to be. So here he writes, take a moment before you say Shaloh Asani Goy tomorrow morning. Take one moment and think about what it is that I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. What does it mean? So he says, Ki yitein ha'adam el libo. If a person will take a moment and internalize what it is that they're saying, Godel ha'simcha v'ha'chedva. The extreme degrees of pride and joy, elation, the fact that God positioned me, the fact that God has situated me, besoch adas b'nei Yisrael, v'lo yatzar ubara oso oved gilulim, and God, for whatever reason, chose for me not to be part of 99% of the world. God made a decision and a choice that He wants me to be a part of the small Jewish people. That's what I think about every day when I say Shaloh Asani Goy. V'haya Ovid u'mishtachav el ha'kochavim u'mazalos v'lahayu yodea klal mehaborei. I would have no insight at all into what it means to live a life of godliness. Gam lo hayu yodea klal mehtaraso ha'kdosha v'atmima u'migvaroso v'nifloso v'chachmaso ha'nifla. Think about how blessed we are that we live a life based on Torah values. That's what Shaloh Asani Goy means. That all of our lives are established based on the foundation of the Torah that God gave us. Tigdal simchaso ad shekimat tisbatel mitziuso hagashmi. Mirov hatshuka v'haslavos me'ava belukuso yizbarach. If I would actually take a moment to think about what a blessing and a gift it is, he writes, I would almost pass out, he says. Tizbatel mitziuso hagashmi. I wouldn't be able to contain myself. I would be so overwhelmed with pride that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has singled me out to be that person who's supposed to do his job, his work in the world. That's what we mean when we say Shaloh Asani Goy every day. It's a beautiful story told about Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz that he was living at the time of Shabtai Tzvi, and there was a lot of confusion going on in the world, and everybody was suspicious of everybody else. Nobody knew who believed in Shabtai Tzvi, who didn't, who really believed in God, who didn't believe in God, who was real for Mashiach, who was not. It was a very confusing time. And one fine day, his members of his community came into shul, and they all used to crowd around him in the morning listening to him say the Birchas HaShachar. One fine day, they're all standing around, and they notice that he starts with the first bracha, and then he gets to Shaloh Asani Goy, he skipped it. And he goes on to the next bracha. And everybody's looking at each other, wondering, you know, did he forget? Everyone was too embarrassed, nobody wanted to correct him. They said maybe he just made a mistake, so the next day, they decided they're going to listen again. Now I make a disclaimer. If I ever make a mistake, just tell me. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. So they were ashamed. Why? Because they weren't me. I'm sorry, because Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz wasn't me. He was the God of Ador. by a few miles. He was the Gadol HaDor, ahead of everybody else. So they didn't want to say anything. So they didn't say. Everybody comes to shul the next day. And again, second time, he skips Shalom HaSanigoy. Third day in a row. Finally, like all good things that need to be taken care of in a shul, they go to the shul president. They say, listen, you know, there's something up with the rabbi. Maybe he's falling into this whole group of Shabtai Tzvinix. Maybe he's going off. I don't know. Maybe we need to fire him. So as the shul president, I think you need to talk to him. So he's hemming and hawing. What's he going to do? You know, shows up in the rabbi's house. He says, listen, I don't know what to say. But I'll tell you, everybody in the shul noticed that the last few days you forgot Shalom HaSanigoy, and we're starting to wonder, maybe you're falling in with all these Shabtai Tzvi followers. I don't know. And Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz says, I wake up in the morning, I get out of bed, I can't contain myself before I say the bracha Shalom HaSanigoy. I can't wait till I get to shul to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making me a Jew, for making me a part of the Am Segula, of the Am HaNivchar. It's the greatest privilege. You think I can wait a half hour till I get to shul? The minute I get up in the morning, it's the first thing I say. Because I'm so proud. Because I'm so excited. I'm so happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen me to do something meaningful in this world. And I feel it's the greatest privilege. And I feel it's the greatest joy. And I can't wait until I come to shul. Now, unfortunately, what happens is, we all know this in theory, but then galus sets in. We don't live in Eretz Yisrael. For anybody who's ever been to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Chanukah, Purim, anything, it's a very different experience than it is here in America. It's not the same. We don't live that sense of understanding, of pride, of passion for who it is that we are and what we represent. It's hard to feel it here in galus. And that's a lot of the challenge. The Chasam Sofer in the 1800s was fighting valiantly against the new movements, against Reform and Conservative Judaism that were becoming very, very popular in his days. And there were many Orthodox members of the community who were falling aside, families who were being destroyed. And the Chasam Sofer wrote a lot about this, and he says, look at number Gimel, Hine bav anoseinu harabim, anu roim darkan shan umas ha'olam. We study history and we see how this works. There's a pattern here. This is not haphazard. Achar sheneshechu einei Yisrael. How prophetic. This is in the 1800s. Think about how history has repeated itself. And we are reliving this paragraph. Just think about that before we read it. You'll see in a second. So what happens? Bavonoseinu harabim. How many years are we away from the Holocaust? 80 years from the Holocaust, right? Not so long. 80 years from the Holocaust. Let's look at what he says. Think about that in that context. Anu roim darkon shen umas ha'olam. We see a pattern by the way the world runs. Achar sheneshechu einei Yisrael kama zmanim be'oni v'galus. After the Jewish people have been darkened, have been exterminated in exile, v'nimasu kekotzim be'einehem, and we have become a disgusted people, like thorns. What were we in the days of the Germans, of the Nazis? Subhumans. Weren't worthy of life. Worse than animals. They treated their animals with more dignity than they treated the Jewish people. After that horrific experience happens, again, this is before the Holocaust he's writing this. He's just studying history. After such things happen, God opens up the Shari Rachamim. We get overwhelmed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. The Ribbono Shel Olam smiles at us. Think about what happened. So 80 years ago we had that extermination, made to feel like subhuman beings, didn't belong having a place in this world at all, completely exterminated, And HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiled at us right afterward. And look what He's done for us. Look what has been built in the last 80 years. Look what has been created. Look how many gifts HaKadosh Baruch Hu has overwhelmed us with. Not always easy, but relatively unbelievable. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Eretz Yisrael Barosham. Look at the survival of the Jewish people all over the world. Look at the institutions that have been built. Look at the infrastructure of Jewish community all over the world. Citadels of Torah. Religious people all over the world. My grandfather says a story, used to say a story. He went into a Sfarim store in the 1930s on the Lower East Side. He was learning in YU at the time. And he said he asked them for a sefer Ketzos HaChoshem. Ketzos HaChoshem is a very important sefer when you're learning in yeshiva. That's what every yeshiva needs to use. It's a staple of learning in yeshiva. So he walked into the store and he said, the Mocher Svarim started to laugh at him. And he said, why are you laughing? He said, because I'm selling you the last copy that will ever be sold of the Ketzos HaChoshem. He was laughing like, why are you buying it? My father spoke to Rabbi Shurin. He subsequently passed away. Rabbi Aaron ben Sion Shurin was a great Talmud Chacham. He was actually in the group with Rav Soloveitchik in Boston before Rav Soloveitchik came to YU. He was in Boston. And he had a very small group of 10 Talmidim who learned with him. And they had no distraction. There was nothing going on. They were just sitting and learning. And Rav Soloveitchik was giving shir. And my father once sat down with Rabbi Shurin and he asked him, do you have any notes from all those years that you sat before Rav Soloveitchik got busy doing all the things he did in America, being the Rosh Hashiva, doing all of his involvement? Do you have any notes? Rabbi Shurin said, you only take notes if you think there's somebody to give the notes to. None of us dreamt there was a reason to take notes. We were the last Jews in the world who would ever learn Torah. That's what they believed. We were the last Jews in the world who would ever learn a word of Torah. That was the feeling that people had in the 1930s. Can you imagine? You talk to Holocaust survivors now and you say to them, can you ever have imagined? It's like almost cliche to ask them that question. Can you ever have imagined? No, they couldn't have imagined. How would they ever have imagined in their wildest dreams? How would anyone ever imagine what we see today? It's a stupid question to ask. It makes no sense. Can you ever have imagined? How could anyone ever imagine such a thing? This is such an overwhelming gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us since that terrible decree against the Jewish people. And writes the Chasam Sofer again, 100 years before the Holocaust, he's writing this. That this is Jewish history. And then he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles at us. V'chashuchei ha-galos halalu b'ros amar. And the depths of darkness of galos somehow see a path forward to light. Nispatu bavo noseinu ha-rabim. And at that moment, when we see light, that's when things start becoming problematic. Nimshachim v'choshvim l'skariv yoser v'yoser. So we live in a country where they give us religious freedoms, where we're able to practice Judaism freely, openly, we're not ashamed, we're not embarrassed, we wear a yarmulke outside, everybody's able to identify as Jews, we're respectful of the blacks, we're respectful of the Asians, everybody respects everybody, they respect us, we respect them, it's perfect, beautiful society. Not only that, we have Joe Lieberman running as the vice president, we have a Jewish son-in-law to the president of the United States, we're doing great, look at this. They don't hold it against us. Amazing. Look what an amazing country we live in. And it's true. We should feel blessed that these are the opportunities we're given as a people. However, writes the Chasam Sofer, one thing leads to the next to the next. Va'ochlim mipitam, vishosim miyenam. And then, all of a sudden, bishalakum doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because I'm involved in such important things and I'm so instrumental in the government. So, okay, I got to break the rules. I have a business meeting. Look, I'm a big philanthropist. I give a lot of tzedakah, I give a lot of charity, I help a lot of people out. So, alright, so I go to the non-kosher restaurant, I'm going to order the fish, I'm not going to order the chicken. I justify it, I'm not a bad person. But I have to, what am I going to do? I'm the big supporter of the community, if this deal doesn't go through, who knows what's going to be. I've said it over many times. When I was in the White House a few years ago for the Hanukkah party, there's something that stuck out in my head. One scene that stuck out in my head. A very respectable person, who I still respect, but was faced with a major dilemma. We all davened mincha outside on the lawn before we went in. We were outside for hours before we got in. Everybody had to wait outside. So everybody went to the side. We were all Jewish there, so we all davened mincha. Great. There were a couple of people who came later and missed the minyan. We all get into this room. They make an announcement. The president will be in, I don't know, X minutes. Nobody really knew how long it's going to be. He's coming, he's not coming. He's coming now, he's coming later. And it was almost the Shkia. And there were a couple of people who missed mincha. They missed the minyan. And I watched as they were trying to make a cheshbon, trying to make a calculation. I have to daven mincha. It's almost the Shkia. I can't daven after Shkia. But how can I walk out of the room? The President of the United States is about to come in. That's what I'm here for. And this was a serious dilemma. And they made the wrong choice. They stayed in the room. They stayed in the room and missed mincha. Now I'm sure you have all justifications why it's very important that we have good relationships. It's important. Again, it's not important that he sees you. He doesn't care to see you. But I can hear all the justifications. It makes sense. We live in a Medina Shel Chesed. When was there ever a time when Jews were invited into the White House with a kosher kitchen, with a kosher caterer, with a Navy SEAL band that are playing Hanukkah songs? It's amazing. It is amazing. I agree. But you still got a daven mincha. There's still HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. We don't throw everything out because we live in a Medina Shel Chesed. And what happened? All those people chose not to daven mincha because it was more important to them to be there when the president walked in. I was ashamed. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. How can that happen? How did that happen? How did people lose perspective? How did they lose focus? Again, 100 people to walk out of the room at the same time would be the wrong thing, of course. You don't do that. But one person was talking over his dilemma with me. He said, go outside. What's the issue? And if you miss it, you miss it. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Writes the Chasam Sofer, this is the pattern of Jewish history. Again, he's writing it 200 years before today, 100 years before the Holocaust. And he says, Ochle mi pitam, shose mi yenam, marak pigulam, you have their soup, you go to the non-kosher restaurant, okay, I'll order a drink, I'll do this, I'll do that, cutting all the corners, figuring it out. Ma'avirim taral pasakanam verosham, we get their haircuts, we wear their clothing, choshvim alzeh limsochein. Why do we do all that? Because we want to fit in. Why do we want to fit in? Because I want to be a citizen like everybody else. I'm an American, I have privileges, I have rights like every other member of this country. So I want to execute my rights. I want to show, I'm going to vote, and I'm going to attend events, I'm going to do everything like everybody else. I'm going to have a fair shot of being a businessman or woman like everybody else has. But along with that, I make concessions. And along with that, he says, V'choshvim al yidei zeh limsochein. We think, we make a calculation that this is going to be our ticket to survival. V'lashav tzaref tzoref. And he said, it ends up boomeranging back in our face. Ki kolot shehem iskarvim u'misnayim lahem. The more we try to forget the fact that we are the Am HaNivchar, that we are the Am Segula, Kol Od Sinasa Misgaber Yom Yom V'Hanisayin Yochiach. It's only a matter of time when that all turns on its head, as close as we are, and suddenly we become the hated people of the world. How did this happen? How did this happen, asked the Chasam Sofer. You study Jewish history, it's the same pattern every single time. Same thing. And then he brings us to the story of Achashverosh. Let's look at Achashverosh, Halaz, Asher Higbias Yisrael V'Zanam Al Shulchano. You know, we think about the Purim story, we say, oh, the Jews were so downtrodden, it was a terrible time. It really wasn't. It was a great time. It was a really great time to be living. Achashverosh is the Melech Mehodu V'Yad Kush, Sheva V'Esr Mamea Medina, that's basically the leader of the entire world at the time. And guess what? Achashverosh makes a party. He makes a party. Shimonu Mimaasyon. You know how long that party was? A long time. And he invites everybody. Equality. I believe every citizen of my country should have equal rights to come and celebrate. So who does he invite? Every citizen. Every single citizen. And not only does he invite them, he puts them on fancy tables. Hashkos bechlei zehav. I'm not just going to invite you and you're going to be an outsider. No, you're invited in. You're going to sit at the table like everybody else. We're going to have a section for the Jews where we're going to serve them kosher food. That's what it says. Bechatzar ginas bisan shelo. He invites you into the inner chambers of his royal castle. He serves you on golden goblets and golden plates. V'asa kol ritzonam. What does the pasuk say in the Megillah? V'ashtiyah chadas ein ones. Nobody was forced, but at the same time, everybody had whatever they wished for. Achashverosh provided everything. And the Gemara says he made sure to have a kosher kitchen, made sure to have all the carving stations that the Jews like, all the whatever it is that they enjoy. Everything they wanted was provided for them, kosher wines and butlers, everything they can ask for. It's a great time. It's a great time. Hayesh lecha kurva v'chiba yoser mizeh. Was there ever a time when Jews were closer to the Malchus than that? Was there ever a time when they felt more welcome than in the days of Achashverosh? V'nenu misidoso. And the Jews went, and they enjoyed. And what's not to enjoy? It is very enjoyable. V'lebesof, hishchir p'neyem ipnei atainus. And in the end, their faces became black because they were fasting so much for their own survival. Shekach amru chazal, delakach nikra Achashverosh. Do you know why his name was Achashverosh? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah, shehishchir p'neyem shel Yisrael machmas tainus. Achashverosh is because he made their faces turn colors because they fasted so much. V'hainu hamolech mehodu ve'ad kush. What does it mean, mehodu ve'ad kush? Hod means glory. The life and the experience of the Jewish people with Achashverosh was first hodu. It was great. Come, join, be a part. Equality will give you equal rights. We'll give you everything you want. You're invited like every other guest. You belong here. You're an insider. That's the way it all started. Mehodu v'ad kush. Kush means black. In the end, it all turned sour. How? That's exactly how. That's why. Writes the Chasam Sofer, because we make concessions. Because we forget. It's very easy to forget what it means to be the Am HaNivchar. It's easy to forget what it means to be the Am Segula. When we talk about the Tochacha, see, we're out of time already. Not sure how that happened. If this is of interest to anyone, we can talk more next week. You can tell me yes, no. Shake your heads either way. I don't know. So, Reb Shlomo Kluger writes in the 1800s that in the Tochacha, we talk about one klala after the next, and it's very disheartening to listen to all this. But then there's a pasuk where we're lifted up a little bit. And even when you were in the land of those who are your enemies, Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, don't worry, I don't hate you, I am not abhorred by you. L'hafer b'risi yitam, I will never break my covenant that I have with the Jewish people. Writes from Shlomo Kluger, perhaps that's also part of the Tochacha. We read it generally, we read that normally the Tochacha is read in a low tone, and then we get to this pasuk again, we pick it up because it's an exciting promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He assures us that He will never forsake us, even when we're in the land of those who hate us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never ever forsake us, He will always keep His promise. Says Reb Shlomo Kluger, perhaps what it means is, this is part of the Tochacha. Va'af gamzos biyosim eretz oyveihem. Even when you're in the land of those who hate you, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim, they don't hate you. They don't show you that you are not welcome. They welcome you in. They don't feel that you're a disgust to the society. They feel that you're a contributing member. They feel that you're equal like everybody else. And that, writes from Shlomo Kluger, is what brings about the greatest of the Tochacha. Because Jews get used to that kind of feeling. Yes, we're very comfortable. Yes, we're like everybody else. And we forget, Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol. We forget, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shelo asanu kegayei haratzos. That this is not who we are. Baruch Elokeinu shebrana l'chvodo. We forget, God created us because we have a purpose in the world. We have a mission. We are driven to do something more. Shelo asanu kegayei haratzos. And that, he says, it is unfortunately where much of the mistake stems from. That's where it comes from, because things seem to be so good and so positive. And unfortunately, as we see in the story of Achashverosh and many times over, the Chasam Sofer's words, I believe, are so prophetic. It's amazing. Take it home, read it again and again. It's amazing to understand the profundity of his words, because we see it playing out in front of our own eyes. So these are just some preliminary thoughts about our job, about our challenge, our privilege, being singled out as the Am Segula, not by our enemies, but as the ones who are singled out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Am Segula. What a gift it is, what a privilege, what a pleasure, what a joy, what a pride we should have. Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebrana Lechvodo, Shelo Asani Goy. We make the bracha every day. It's not that we look down on anybody else in the world, we don't treat them any differently. We have a responsibility. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day for giving us that responsibility, for entrusting us, for believing us, that we have the opportunity, that we have the ability to do His sacred work in the world. Mirtzah Hashem, we'll meet again next week. We'll continue with something along this theme. I look forward to seeing everybody then.